Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Somebody asked me recently, they said, Aaron, what's your plan for election coverage? You know, 2 weeks out before the election. Well, here's my plan. We're going to have phone lines open for you. We want Montanans to get a chance to talk about the big news story of the day. Well, we might think something is the big news story of the day, but people elsewhere might think that there's another story that people need to be talking about. If we have a guest on the show, it better be a big topic, because we want to keep the show open so that we're covering the biggest news stories of the day locally here in Montana, or potentially national as well, especially given all the shenanigans that are going on, the fake news media coverage, you name it. We want the ability to respond, get the facts out there, et cetera. But this certainly is a very big story. That's why we are pleased to have State Senator Greg Hertz as our guest here for the first few minutes of the program here this morning. Senator Hertz, thanks for freeing up some time with us this morning.
Sure, yeah, it's a pleasure to be on, Aaron, and just to talk about, you know, this politically charged, motivated attack on our very popular Attorney General, Asa Knudsen. They recommended yesterday after a kangaroo court hearing that his license be suspended for 90 days, just weeks out from the election. You know, this all started in 21 when a California lawyer filed complaints against the Attorney General. And then in 22, they hired Daniel McLean, a well-respected lawyer in Montana. And basically he said, you know, we shouldn't be doing anything here other than maybe issue a letter to the Attorney General admonishing him for his comments. But that wasn't good enough for the Democrats. Oh, no. They went out and hired a new attorney, trumped up these charges, just like they're attacking President Trump, and went after our Attorney General just weeks before the election.
Yeah, this is outrageous. At less than 2 weeks to go before the election, they're recommending that basically he be suspended for 90 days of his law license. Well, to be the Attorney General, you have to have a law license. So they're trying to strip Montanans of our votes, A. B, less than 2 weeks to go before the election, they are committing election interference here. It seems very clear.
They sure are. I mean, and this is right out of the playbook from the Democrats all election cycle. This is probably one of the worst election cycles I've seen since 2012, where they're just out there lying, cheating, and trying to steal elections. They can't beat Republicans on policy across the state, so they have to revert to things like this lawfare here and trying to get rid of our Attorney General on some trumped-up charges. And it's just, you know, it's really pathetic what the Montana Democrats have gone to and trying to win elections.
Speaking of lying, cheating, and stealing, after the break, Senator Hertz, I want to get your take on this story as well, if we have time. But we've got a big update, a major update in a story that we first reported at MontanaTalks.com. Remember that Democrat operative busted tampering with the ballot box in Glacier County, Montana. We've got a big update on that story vis-a-vis the New York Post and Fox News. The Montana Democrat Party saying no comment. Anyway, wait till you hear the update on that story. But first, we'll talk more about this kangaroo court commission going after the best AG in the country right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it with State Senator Greg Hertz. Yeah, here's a couple of the headlines showing the election interference by this kangaroo court commission. This is exactly what they wanted. They wanted negative headlines to try to make Attorney General Asa Knudsen look bad. But Senator Hertz, I think this is going to backfire on them. I think Attorney General Asa Knudsen is going to have a massive victory less than 2 weeks from now. But that being said, whether it ends up helping him at the end of the day or not, it is still shameful what is taking place right now, especially from this crowd that always likes to shriek and shrill about democracy.
It truly is, you know, and this sheds a light more on what's going on with our judiciary here in Montana. You know, the Democrats control that, and they're using this to go after our very popular attorney general, you know, who's trying to stop drugs from coming into Montana. You know, the border's wide open. Why? Because of the Democrats. You know, so they don't want to talk about policy, and they know Austin Knutson's a very strong attorney general, and most likely will be has further political ambitions in Montana. So they're really trying to take him down at this point in time, which is it's unfortunate. I predict, too, Austin's going to win by wide margins come the election. And, you know, people in Montana really need to get out there and support our very popular attorney general.
No, you just said something I think is important. Yeah, the Democrats, you know, 4 years from now, you know, Greg Gianforte, he will term out as Montana governor. And a lot of people see, you know, Austin Knutson as the next likely governor because he's done such an incredible job as AG. And so the Democrats want to start falsely trashing him now in anticipation of it. It is so shameful. Here's the headlines from the left-wing Montana television network. State panel recommends suspension for Knutson in professional conduct complaint. Lee Newspapers, commission recommends AG be suspended, Knutson vows to appeal. Something that I found the most interesting about this whole sham of a commission here is that you pointed out the initial special counsel, and he was a Democrat, as I understand it. He was appointed by the very same left-wing, you know, mob that oversees this process to begin with. But even he recommended against taking the actions that they're trying to take against the attorney general right now. But they kept that quiet. The only reason that fact even came public is because the attorney general's team submitted that evidence as part of their testimony during this commission. They tried to bury even that evidence.
They did. You know, this Office of Disciplinary Counsel really needs some restructuring and oversight. I mean, if I was an attorney in Montana, I would be very concerned about what's going on here. I mean, all of a sudden, it kind of looks like kings over their subjects. I mean, that's what we ran away from when we started this country. But now the judiciary, they've got control of this court system. And if you're an attorney, you want to practice before the courts, you got to be very careful how you criticize the judiciary. And, you know, it doesn't apply both ways. The judiciary has been out there criticizing the legislative branch. And this is where it all started in these emails that we were trying to get and some language. And they were ruling already behind the scenes, talking about unconstitutional bills, disparaging legislators. I mean, come on, guys. It needs to go both ways here. You know, we need to be respectful here, but, you know, also when you need to voice your opinion, we have free speech here in the great United States, and you need to be able to use free speech when it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, they want to say whatever they want to say. They want to rule however they want to rule. They want to throw out any law they don't like, but then they want to put a muzzle on the statewide elected attorney general whose job is to defend the state against their rulings, and they want to muzzle people. I mean, democracy dies in darkness as they try to muzzle their opposition here. Give me a break.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty obvious. The legislative branch, we were upset. I ran the Select Committee on Judicial Transparency in 21, trying to get these emails, looking at information. The courts had a ex parte ruling, which basically means, hey, they're talking to the other individual's attorney, in this case was Beth McLaughlin. They did a special ruling on the Supreme Court on a Sunday, which doesn't happen. And so they wanted to cover up everything that was going on because they knew that they had gotten caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and it did not look good to the public. And this isn't looking good to the public. The judiciary just needs to, you know, make this go away. Austin Knutson's an elected statewide official, and he needs to be able to say what he wants to out there in the public.
Greg in Big Fork sent us a good question, good message. What are we going to do about it?
So this isn't done right now. So, you know, the AG's office, they're gonna appeal this. They'll be able to present arguments. And it's truly up to the Montana Supreme Court. They're going to be the ones who are going to have to decide exactly what they're going to do here with our attorney general. I hope they look at this and determine, hey, this has gone too far. We need to roll back to 2022 and do what was recommended in the beginning, and let's move forward. for the state of Montana.
Well, and I also wonder, is there a way the legislature can defund this whole kangaroo court commission? Because if they would do this to the attorney general, I can only imagine how they are intimidating lawyers all across the state and discouraging them from being able to exercise their First Amendment rights as Americans as well.
Yeah, we're looking into that. In fact, we have another special select committee, which is being chaired by President Aylesworth, and they're looking into the Office of Disciplinary Counsel, along with a number of other items in the judiciary. And so we'll be rolling out some legislation going forward as we move into the 2025 session.
All right. Well, State Senator Greg Hertz, great to have you on the show. Thanks for the quick update and response this morning. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got the phone lines open for you. What do you want to talk about? What do you think is the big news story of the day that people need to hear about? Give us a ring, 406-294-0970. And then I got about three or four topics that you got to hear about, too.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Paul Mussabin, the great Paul Mussabin, the one and only. He brought in the copy of the Yellowstone County News here just as we were coming back on the air. And he said, did you see this headline? Did you see? Oh, I did. I did. Paul Mussabin, good to see you. Thanks for popping in the studio.
Yeah, here. Aaron, I see Tester. He's been busy while he's been in D.C. $60,000 he spent at this high-end French restaurant. And I'll bet he consumed almost all of the $60,000 worth. Do you see that? Liquor. The liquor that he bought. $3,000. You know what he's doing? He's buying bottles of booze and he's passing them out to all these donors.
Well, he really likes the pink drinks. The vodka cranberries, apparently, was what he was busted drinking at the... This is my favorite restaurant to talk about, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So John Tester, the... Ronnie Jackson called him the swamp hippopotamus. I call him the Washington fat cat because he's the number one recipient of lobbyist cash.
Mm-hmm.
You called him Tayron John back mm-hmm. in 2012. That name still sticks,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So he has spent $1.2 million at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. But Evan here with the Yellowstone County News tells us that in just the last year alone, he spent, what, 60 grand at
yeah.
the Bistro Cacao.
Yeah, and some other steakhouse or something like that. He's got these abs running. He's so Montana. I don't think that cranberry vodka is the number one beverage in Montana. I don't think that's number one beverage here.
It's
but,
Pendleton and Miles City. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that, yeah.
Well, we're getting close to D-Day, so the way these early voting is turning out, I mean, it's looking good. People, I think, are going to try to make a difference in a lot of early voting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've had a bunch of people, and Linda in Billings and Christy in Belgrade, stand by because we'll get to your phone calls here in a second. But I've had a ton of people tell me, like in Kalispell, Bozeman, they said they went in to vote early for the first time ever to drop their ballots off because they don't want to get stuck in the mail or mm-hmm. lost in the mail. Mm-hmm. And they said there was like 100 people, I think, in Flathead County
oh, yeah.
just a few days ago. So people are rushing to the polls. I agree with you. I think things are looking very good from a Montana standpoint.
And if you go to the votemt.com, you can check the status of your ballot. And my partner Mark and I, we went there yesterday to check ours. Just to make sure. And if you go in there, you can check your ballot. It'll tell you the date they received it and if it's been processed, which
yeah.
is great. In case you're worried, you know, I can understand
yeah.
people are worried. But if you're worried, you can go and you can check it right there.
Our listeners across the state, I think they need to know this. You've been on the radio for 36 plus years mm-hmm. now. And John Tester, has he ever once even dropped in to join you guys on the country station? Never?
Never.
Never once.
We had Max Baucus come in one time. And,
just once.
Just one
Never
time.
Never again after that. Huh?
One time. And they were sort of expecting some questions that they send out early.
Yeah.
And I didn't go anywhere near that. And I was jumping on oil prices, fuel prices, stuff like that. And the next day we got a call from his PR person, and they said, he will never come back on your show. You embarrassed him on the air. He's never going to be put in that situation. But they're supposed to answer to us.
Well, that's their job. You don't have a set list of questions that you give them ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And no, like you're going to ask them questions that you want to ask them. And it's their job to answer those questions. And so it's just crazy to me. But what's funny is like, so people might say, well, yeah, well, that Paul Musselman, he's really tough and he can have sharp commentary. Well, so what? This is Montana. Get used to it. Man up. But even like Kurt Anthony, another radio guy across town, nice guy, music station. Mm-hmm. John Tester won't even go sit down with them either.
Yeah. And that's all milquetoast. That's just all, hey, what are you doing in town?
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Hey, what's your favorite cheeseburger? And he's too afraid to just answer any real questions.
But here's the thing. Guy like John Tester and others, look at Kamala yesterday. She does a town hall meeting on CNN. She has nothing to prove to anybody who watches CNN. She's not going to gain any voters by going on CNN. If Tester wants to gain voters from people like us or other people listening in rural Montana, eastern Montana, other places, he should go to where they're not supporting him and try to convince them, I'm your guy. He should go to Aaron Flint's show. He could go to our show or other people around the state rather than showing up at a Pearl Jam concert or going to a Missoula radio station. He already has that support. It's not going to do him any good, like Kamala on CNN. She should be doing more on conservative talk shows or the people that are iffy, moderate places, if she wants to make a footprint.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that.
Or just take calls from listeners, which, I mean, Jared in Anaconda is a Democrat, and, you know, he listens to us. He'll listen to public radio, and so you'll catch people's ear, but he's too afraid. He doesn't want to take questions that he doesn't want to have to answer about why is the southern border flung white? Why did you vote to allow men and women sports? A whole laundry list of questions he doesn't want to be asked because he knows Q2 and these fake news TV stations aren't going to ask him any tough questions.
Well, and all his ads. You know, he spent $71 million so far in October, or since up until the 1st of October, and October is going to be his biggest month. But, you know, and you can't believe that. We've called out a lot of the people that are on the ads. He's, oh, I've been Republican my whole life. Well, you know, Tester voted to impeach the guy you voted for twice. It makes no sense.
Well, those ads are such a joke. I recognize a couple of people in those ads, and I'm like, you're not a Republican. You were the one, you know, cheerleading Steve Bullock on Twitter when he was shutting down schools and forcing mask mandates. I was arguing with you on Twitter about this stuff, but now you get to call yourself a Republican in a campaign commercial? It's so phony.
Well, and with the election, here's the thing, folks. We're going to have to live with the results, no matter what they are. And I think we know down the road what the results are going to be if they take over complete ownership of Washington, the executive branch, Congress. We know what's coming. We're going to have to live with it. So we have to make sure we get out and do our duty and do our part, because we have no one to blame but ourselves if they walk away with this.
That's right.
And it's going to be nasty. You will never see America ever again what we've come to love over the last 200 years if they take control. And it's just going to be that way. So we have to make sure we use due diligence.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. All of Western civilization is truly on the brink right now. Well, Paul Musselman, you're welcome to stick around if you want. I'm going to take some phone calls and more here. But if you got to run back to your station, I understand.
We still have to make some money. So
we still got some soap to sell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
Yeah, well, you got to keep Wilson company in there.
There you go.
Who knows what that guy's up to
right now?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for dropping in. Great to see you. Let's go to Christy in Belgrade on the phone lines. Christy, what's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling about absentee voting. If you are one, please get your vote absentee ballot in to the courthouse as soon as possible. I've seen them dropped off at the polling places at election day, and that just slows down the vote, the vote count. You have to handle that, you know, like five different ways to Sunday, the ballot. And it's just incredible how long it takes to vote, you know, to count that vote. So please get that ballot in early.
I agree, too, because you don't know what kind of, you know, same day, election day shenanigans they're going to pull. I mean, I mean, there's some people that have had to wait in line for 4 hours on election day. Why not get the job done now? Avoid any potential same day shenanigans. Although, of course, the shenanigans are already occurring, aren't they? Christy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We told you. We reported this at MontanaTalks.com. Fox News now has a big national story. You've got the New York Post with a big story. The New York Post is saying that the main campaign committee for Senate Democrats has fired an employee who was accused of tampering with a ballot box in Montana. The Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee, according to the New York Post, canned Laszlo Gendler after he was recording walking up to a ballot box in Glacier County Sunday, shaking it briefly and then leaving the scene, according to an alarming video obtained by Fox News. And, of course, we've got that video at MontanaTalks.com right now. So there, the New York Post is saying that that Democrat campaign staffer was fired after tampering with the ballot box in Glacier County, Montana. Let's go to Linda in Billings. Linda, what's on your mind?
Hi, I have a message for Christians. If they don't want to vote, they're going to have to. We have no choice right now. George Washington, after the war, got on one knee. He prayed to God about this, about the war that they just had. And he made a covenant with God. And that's what our Constitution stands on, that we would save the country. And these Christians have to get involved. Because God is involved. Doesn't matter what you think. It has to do this. And for a side note here, I heard Tester, undercover guy with a microphone. He was talking to some people at a party. He told those people he doesn't ever want to come back to Montana. He hates this state. He'd rather stay in Washington. So that's another little interesting tidbit for you guys.
You know, Linda, I've wondered this. They say that about a third of evangelical Christians don't vote, don't get involved, right? And then gun owners, huge number of gun owners that don't get involved. And
12,000 in the state of Montana.
Wow. And I think about it, these people, they think that somehow they're being virtuous by not getting involved. I mean, our country is going to HE double hockey sticks, but these people of faith just sit back and do nothing. And so I think they claim that they're being virtuous by not getting involved in saving this country, by not voting. But I think they're being fearful. It's not virtue. It's fear. And you're not supposed to be afraid. You're not supposed to be afraid of anything. But yet it's not virtue that is keeping them away from the polls. I think it is fear that keeps them from speaking out and getting involved.
That aren't talking to their people. You know what? What's going to happen is there's a lot of, I don't know any of the verses in the Bible, but I've heard them. These pastors are going to pay for what they're doing. Because right now God is working in our country. And God will win.
And are they refusing to speak out? Some of them, not all of them, you know, there's some that are speaking out, but the ones that aren't speaking out, is it because of virtue or is it because of fear? I mean, that's my question. All right, thanks for the call, Linda. We'll be back to the phone lines after this.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Montana sugar beet harvest continues to make way here this fall. 37% of farmers have dug up this year's sugar beet crop. That is 3 points behind the five-year average and 4 points behind last year's pace. As for winter wheat, 75% of the state's crop has been planted as of Sunday, 2 percentage points ahead of the national average and a tad bit behind the five-year average of 82%. 67% of next year's winter wheat crop had emerged as of Sunday as well.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
Earlier this week, a Billings Livestock Commission slaughter cows were $3 to $5 higher, priced at $78 all the way up to $138 a hundredweight. As for bred cows, 2 to 4 years old, they were priced at $2,000 to $2,350. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
The market.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've got the phone lines open for you. The phone lines are full right now, though. So if you're on the line, hey, we will get to you. We will get to every single one of you callers on the phone lines right now. And then as the line frees up, call in at 406-294-0970. Or you can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app in the meantime. In fact, we got a great message from Morgan in Helena. I gave you that update about it. The New York Post, at least, is reporting that the Democrat campaign operative who was busted on camera tampering with the ballot box, it was in Cutbank, Montana. That was the ballot box location, but they also have a separate one. There's two ballot drop box locations in Glacier County. One is in Cutbank. That's the one where he was on camera messing with it. And then another one is in Browning. So that's the two ballot box drop locations in Glacier County. But anyway, good question here from Morgan and Helena. Was the Democrat employee fired for tampering with a ballot box or for getting caught? Very good question, because remember, he told the Glacier County Elections Administrator that they were the ones that told him to go there and do it. And now apparently they are the ones that fired him. Maggie Aboud, the spokeswoman for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, said this: "This video is incredibly damning. John Tester and Senate Democrats know they are losing to Tim Sheehy, so it appears they are trying to cheat in the election." That's the response from the NRSC. Let's go back into the phone lines. Tanner Smith calling in from the Flathead. Tanner, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Great job today. Great callers as usual. I just want to express what I've been saying for the last 3 years. You know, Austin Knutson right now needs our help, and he needs the help from the executive branch. We need to remember that the legislature passes laws, the governor signs it, and judges just issue opinions. They have no law enforcement mechanism outside their courtroom and their bailiffs. You know, Austin was standing up for us, and if the executive branch would double down and enforce these laws, remember that the judges just have pieces of paper. They have no way to enforce the law, you know, outside their court. And that's the frustration that I have is, you know, Austin needs help, and the executive branch could have headed this off at the pass, you know, many years ago. There's 31 bills now, I believe, that our rogue judiciary has kicked out for unconstitutionality, which is what we the people passed. You know, and for the folks that say, well, that'll create anarchy, well, what do we have now? You know, if we pass the law, the governor signs it, and then the governor mandates that we enforce that law, that will help fast track it to our federal Supreme Court, where they can clip the wings of our rogue judiciary.
One thing I know, Lucas Schubert, I forget, is Lucas Schubert, is he running for the seat that you held in the state house, or is there another candidate for you?
No, Lucas has that house district in Evergreen. I've got Steve Kelly is running for my house district. It's 9 now.
Oh, okay.
My old seat, Steve Kelly, yeah.
That's right,
Lucas
yeah.
Lucas is on board with this program, too. We just need to have a good executive branch that wants to fight and double down and help fast.
Well, and the legislature, I agree with Lucas Schubert that the legislature needs to get judicial reform out there. I mean, this whole kangaroo court commission, this is showing to the people of Montana, this whole kangaroo court commission needs to just be thrown out altogether. The left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court should not hold this kind of power over every single lawyer in the state. I mean, they hold power. They are threatening and intimidating and harassing their political opposition. If they will do it to the state's top elected attorney general, they will do it to every single, you know, small town lawyer across Montana, and this type of corruption should not be allowed. I think frankly that these commission members should be prosecuted for this political persecution against the attorney general. It should be defunded by the legislature, and I mean, this is a figurative declaration of war against the legislative branch and the voters of Montana that voted to put Austin in that seat.
But the issue is they're allowing it to happen. Austin's allowing it to happen by playing this game. And I wouldn't even play the game. I would say, go ahead and pound sand, judiciary. You know, we're not playing your game. I've got the full force of the executive branch behind me. That's how you keep these folks in check.
Yeah, that was kind of a question I had, too, which is like, man, you know, like if I was, you know, Austin Knutson, and of course I'm not. I mean, man, he's been Speaker of the House. He's, you know, he's the Attorney General, and he's the best AG in the country, if you ask me. I'd be like, man, I'm not even showing up for this garbage. You know, basically, you guys can go pound sand. But I can also see from a strategic standpoint where you'd say, no, we're going to allow them to go through this kangaroo court process. And, you know, frankly, like the Montana Supreme Court has already been smacked down here in recent years by the United States Supreme Court for trying to interfere with the Montana legislature. So I think we could likely see where from a strategic standpoint, they're saying, okay, let's allow this kangaroo court process to expose themselves. And then if it makes its way all the way to the United States Supreme Court, they can say, look, we answered their questions. We followed their process. This is the sham they produced, and the Supreme Court can lay the smack down, and then the state legislature can come in and just throw this whole kangaroo court commission out altogether. It's just garbage. Hey, Tanner, great to hear from you. Great to see you in the Flathead here recently as well. Let's go to Jerry in Billings. Jerry, what's going on?
Not much. I'm disappointed to hear about the Supreme Court. Can Gianforte pardon Knutson?
That's a good question. So if they try to take away his license for 90 days, what does that even mean? So if it's just a temporary suspension, are they saying, well, he can't be AG for 90 days, but then you get to be AG again? And could the governor then issue some sort of a pardon from this whole process?
Well, he's an elected official. I don't see how they can do that to an elected official, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah.
People voted him in, and to do that, I would think there's other processes that they have to go through.
Yeah, I agree. That's why this whole thing is just a joke.
Well, I just kind of wondered if Gianforte could pardon him. I don't know how that would work out, but...
Yeah, I don't either, but that's a good question. Maybe somebody listening can point us to somewhere in the Montana Code or Montana Constitution. Great question, though, Jerry. I appreciate it. That reminds me of another question somebody asked. So there's a lot of district judges that are on the ballot across the state. Yellowstone County alone has 5 district judges that are on the ballot, but they don't have any opponents. They have 0 opponents. Again, going back to what a mess our judiciary is in Montana, if you are a lawyer, and you got to be a lawyer to be a judge, if you are a lawyer, why would you challenge a sitting judge? They might rule against you. Their buddies might target you. The Montana Supreme Court might punish you because you challenged one of their buddies. So you have 5 judges that don't even have an opponent right now. So a lot of people have been asking me, Aaron, do we vote to retain these judges or do we not vote to retain these judges? Somebody asked a very good question. David Noble and I were chatting about this the other day. They said, what happens if you vote not to retain a judge? What happens if you... So like in Yellowstone County, if you've got a very liberal judge that's, you know, a partisan left winger, gives all their money to the Democrat Party, rules against the people of Montana, and you vote not to retain that judge, what happens? Well, good news. According to the Montana Constitution, the governor would get to appoint the replacement. So if you've got a partisan left-wing judge, vote to not retain that partisan left-wing judge, and then the governor can appoint the replacement. So anyway, there you go. A little good news today. 406-294-0970. Goose in Anaconda. Goose, what's going on?
Hey there, Aaron. So I got a lot of things to say, but it starts with a story about Rudy Giuliani that's not been getting any attention. He exposed the video there in Georgia back in 2021 about those poll people that kicked everybody out of the office and then pulled out all the suitcases and ran all the ballots. And they said it probably was about equivalent to about 100,000 ballots. It was on video, pure as day, pure truth. And 3 years later, the judge in New York decided to tell Rudy Giuliani that he's got to give up everything he owns, his penthouse, his cars, his World Series rings, his mayor, that was given to them. Everything goes to these people that were actually cheating in our election on video.
America's mayor. America's mayor. Look at the way they have weaponized this government to go after people, like America's mayor. What was the other topic you wanted to get to, since we're short on time before the next break?
Well, it's the thing that the DOD Directive 5240, giving the Pentagon power to use lethal force to kill Americans on U.S. soil who protest government policies. If we don't see that we're at war with our government right now, we better start making plans to defend ourselves and probably go on the offensive. I think we're missing the point, because they're going to steal this election again. They own all the courts. They own all the judges. The DOJ is corrupt. Our FBI is corrupt. I think it's time for us to start making plan B here. And it's going to involve going on the offensive.
Well, let's focus on plan A, which is too big to rig. Get out there and vote. Vote early. Get your vote in. Hand carry it. Too big to rig. That's the goal. All right, Goose, thanks for the call. Did you?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There's another crazy story I should tell you about. It's involving a judge in Anaconda that issued a ruling to allow crazy people to vote. Now, not just any crazy person. Convicted felon, violent criminal, crazy people to vote. I first mentioned this story, this ruling by Judge Dayton out of Anaconda last week, where he ruled on behalf of a Democrat Party front group to allow a violent felon in Warm Springs to be able to vote this November. And I just thought, wow, that's crazy. I was like, so you can be sentenced to Deer Lodge for a violent felony and you can't vote, but you can be too crazy for Deer Lodge and now you get to vote, according to this judge. Well, that judge is being overruled by a new attorney general opinion. Once again, a reminder, the best attorney general in the country right there, Attorney General Austin Knutson, saying, you know, Attorney General Austin Knutson coming up with an AGO, an attorney general's opinion, which carries the weight of law, saying that no, felons, even if they're at Warm Springs, are not allowed to vote in our elections. So anyway, there's just one more crazy story for you out there. Let's see. We've got some messages that are coming in on our Montana Talks app that I need to look at here and share with you here. Dennis and Bozeman sharing a Mark Twain quote. Was this a Mark Twain quote? Sometimes there'll be a Twain quote that wasn't a Twain quote, but people just attribute it to him. Either way, it sounds like a great quote anyway. Politicians in diapers need to be changed often, and for the same reason. There you go. Who do we got next on the phone lines? Mike in Libby. Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. How are you today?
Hey, doing great.
So I heard an interview with a woman named Selena Zito yesterday, and she had some very insightful statements to make. She said that the Democrat Party has abandoned their typical roots in the working class and ordinary people, and is stuck with their support from the elites and from black women. And that certainly would explain why John Tester, while wanting to return to Washington, D.C., where his true roots are at this point.
Yeah, you know, when I know some people are like clutching their pearls over that term you just used there. But it's funny, the guys on the FM station down the street, they use that term all the time and nobody clutches their pearls. But there'll be somebody clutching their pearls over that one. But yeah, when Paul Mushaven joined us and said, you know, in 36 years he's been on the radio, and John Tester's been a politician for about 30 of those 36 years, right? He's never once joined even the Breakfast Flakes on their country station. How many other folks working in radio, small town radio stations, et cetera, has John Tester also refused to even stop by. I mean, now, of course, he'll stop by the Glasgow radio station because old Stan there will give John Tester a pass. I mean, John Tester voted against the Keystone XL pipeline, which cost Valley County millions of dollars. They probably could have built a new sports facility with Keystone pipeline money. But yet, yeah, the dogs are barking. But yet, no, John Tester gets a pass in Glasgow from some liberal folks in the media, even though he voted against the people in Glasgow. All right, rant over on that one. Mike, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 294-0970, the number for you. This was the story that Goose in Anaconda was talking about. Now, I haven't seen a good news story, left, right, indifferent. I haven't seen a good news story mentioning this. But I had a couple listeners, you know, message me, and they said, hey, what's this new DOD directive? What's this new Department of Defense directive that apparently authorizes lethal force to be used against American citizens that apparently the Biden administration just published? Now, I don't know the answer on this one. I haven't seen any reputable stories one way or the other. But this is what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said yesterday in a Trump rally aired by Right Side Broadcasting Network.
President Harris said today in her post, in her speech, he said that President Trump was going to turn the U.S. military against the American public and use the public to promote his agenda. How many of you think that is true? Well, what's interesting to me is that the Biden-Harris administration has done something 2 weeks ago that has never been done in American history.
Anyway, and that's where he goes on to say that they signed this authorization to use lethal force against American citizens. I just shared that clip. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. We are very short on time, but we've got Pam in Billings on the phone lines. Pam, I was talking about judges. What do you want to share? We got less than a minute to go.
Hi, Aaron. I just wanted to say that I did some research also on the judges.
Oh, did we just lose you? Did you mute yourself by accident? Are you still there, Pam? Oh, man, I know our listeners are on pins and needles. She did research on the judges, and now they're like, well, where'd she go? Pam, are you still there? Going once, going twice. All right, well, I've done some research on the judges. Yeah, we lost her call, for Pete's sake. Dang it. I wanted to hear what Pam had to say there. Pam, you're going to have to call us again tomorrow and tell us what we missed. I can tell you, Judge Ashley Harada, Tom Pardee, I can recommend voting to retain them. You can vote to retain them, and then, hey, maybe the others, Governor Gianforte, can appoint a replacement.